By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered himself faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God would raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. We look at people who have gone before us, and we think of their life and what they had accomplished. I've always kind of put Abraham up on a pedestal because of his wonderful faith. And I guess I just had assumed that Abraham had always had a lot of faith. I can think back upon brothers and sisters who have passed on in this congregation, and I think fondly of their faith or their hospitality, their kindness, their gentle words that they would say. And as we look back on Abraham's life, we can see that there is no doubt that Abraham had faith. But I forget that Abraham was a man, just like me. I forget that Abraham sinned. I forget that Abraham lacked faith. And I forget that Abraham forgot to listen to God. I would like us to go back into the book of Genesis. And I'd like to recount Abraham's life. I would like to reflect upon the faith that he did have, the successful, faithful moments he had. And I'd also like to look at what we would call his failures in faith. We go back to Genesis chapter 12, and we see the call of Abraham. In verse 2, it reads, "I will make you into a nation, into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you." I think this is an important part to remember here, that God is asking in this that Abram leaves his country. He leaves his people. He leaves his father's household. His father, Terah, had just died. And the other important thing that we need to note here is that Abraham was 75 years old. Keep that in mind as we go throughout this lesson, how old he was when God made this covenant with him. And Abraham shows that he has faith at 75 years old. Next, in this chapter, we go to a part in Abram's life where there is a famine in the land. And the famine forces Abram to go to Egypt. Reading, starting in verse 10 of chapter 12, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while, because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, 'I know that you are a beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say this is his wife, and they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you.'" I think it's interesting here to note that Abraham is interjecting his own thoughts here. He just forgot about the previous start of verse 12, that through him God was going to make a great nation. Abraham had lost some faith here. He decided to take matters into his own hands. And he told his wife that they were going to tell Pharaoh that he was the brother, so that his life would be spared. Did Abraham lose faith in God's plan? Did Abraham forget about that promise? As we know in this story, the Pharaoh is inflicted in despair and disease. And Pharaoh puts two and two together and figures out that Abraham is Sarah's wife. And he sends them away with great riches. Next we go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, we see in verse 1, God tells Abram, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward." God is reconfirming his covenant with Abram. He's telling him that he needs not to be afraid of God, that he needs to realize that God is faithful to him. He needs to realize that God will shield him. Abram's faith is still waning in this chapter. He's still worried that he's not going to have any children. He's worried that a servant is going to have to carry on for him. But God takes him outside. He tells him to look up at the sky and see all the stars. And he says, "So numerous will be your offspring. So numerous will be your offspring." Abram had to have faith that God was going to provide him children. But as I said, his faith was waning. And now he's getting older. He's not 75 years anymore. He's getting older. And his wife Sarai is getting older as well. And we find in the 16th chapter that Sarai offers her handmaid, Hagar, to Abram. She wants to have the legacy go through her handmaid. And as we read the story, we see that Abram agrees to what Sarah says. And Abram and Hagar come together, and Hagar becomes pregnant. But after this happens, we see that Sarai becomes jealous. So jealous that she mistreats Hagar. And Hagar runs away. But the angel of the Lord comes to Hagar and finds her and tells her to return. Hagar needs to return back to Sarai and Abram. Then we find again here in the next chapter, in the 17th chapter, we find that God changes Abram's name to Abraham. We see here that Abraham is 99 years old. Now he's 99 years old. And God has another covenant, a sign of a covenant of circumcision with Abram, with Abraham. And God has promised Abraham a son. And in verse 17, Abraham laughs. How can I, a 99-year-old man, and my wife, who is 89 years old, have a child? How can that be? He laughed. But in the 21st chapter of Genesis, we find the birth of Isaac. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 99. How could Abraham not have faith? The impossible has just been made possible. It took 100 years for Abraham to see this. And he had his son. He finally had his son. And later, as jealousy grew with Sarah, she wanted Abraham to send Hagar and Ishmael away. It says that Abraham was very distressed over this. Can you imagine the distress that Abraham had here in sending off this woman, Hagar, and his son to Ishmael? But God said, listen to Sarah. And Abraham had faith. We go to the 22nd chapter, and we see that Abraham's faith is put to the test. God asks Abraham to sacrifice his son. It doesn't really tell us how old Abraham was, but it's my guess. It's only my guess. I don't know if it's true or not. But what I have reasoned in my mind is that Isaac was about 12. Abraham would be about 112 years old. And Abraham was to take him onto the mountain, and he was to sacrifice him. And just as he is about to sacrifice him, the angel of the Lord stops Abraham. And the Lord provides blessings. And I want to read 22 verses 13 through 18. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its thorns. Caught by its horns, I'm sorry. I really do need glasses. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." God provides for his people. I want to make some points out of this lesson. We look at Abraham and we think of his great faith. And then we compare Abraham to ourselves. And we say, wow, we don't even compare. We don't even come close to comparing. But I think the lesson learned here is that faith, great faith, like Abraham's, takes a lifetime to make. It takes a lifetime to have great faith. The The second point is when you lose faith, God still gives you riches. And what I want to take us back to is the example when he went to Egypt. His faith waned. He thought he would take matters into his own hands. But when Pharaoh found out what Abraham really was, he gave him a bunch of riches, earthly riches, and told him to move on. When our faith wanes, when we lose faith, and we find ourselves in the bottom of the pit, and we start climbing ourselves out, we get riches. They're not always earthly riches, but they're spiritual riches. We gain more faith in God that He is going to take care of us. When we're tempted and tried, when we're in a worst part of our life, when everything is going wrong, we can always look to God because He is faithful to us. He will always provide an out. He does not allow us to go into situations that we can't handle. And we learn things. Over this past year, I have learned so many things that I would have never have learned had I not been in the pit. I have great riches now because I had lost faith. And now I'm gaining faith again. I'm gaining more. The third thing I want us to see in this, in these stories, is that God knows you're going to lose your faith. God knows you're going to sin. And God's not going to beat you up. At what point in Abraham's life did God beat him up and tell him he was a loser? Tell him he was a sinner? Tell him he was no good? It's not written there. What's written there is encouragement. He says, I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to be your reward. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps, man. We have many examples. Psalms 33 and 20. We wait in hope for the Lord, for He is our help and our shield. Psalms 84 and 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. Psalms 115 and 9. Trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Proverbs, and I forgot to write down the verse. Every word of God is flawless. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. God doesn't beat us up. He encourages us. The fourth thing I want us to remember is that God makes the impossible possible. Who had ever heard of a 90-year-old woman giving birth to a baby boy? She even said that people were going to laugh. People were going to be amazed. Out of the impossible, God makes possible. I was reminded of when Peter and John were talking, remember in the book of Acts, and they were explaining all the things about Jesus, that those listening were amazed at what they were saying. I think it was Acts chapter 1 or 2 where this is taking place. They were amazed and the people could see that they had been with Jesus. Peter and John were fishermen. They weren't learned speakers. But yet they were convincing people. They were speaking with boldness. When situation seems impossible for us, God will make it possible. because that's the way it works. That's the way God shows His glory. The fifth thing I want to look at is God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, Peter talks about our calling. And I'd like to read that. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promise, so that through them they may participate in His divine nature and escape corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if any of you does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to take your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God has called us all, just like He called Abraham. He has called us to be faithful to Him. And in 1 Peter, He tells us to gird up the loins of our mind. He tells us to be self-controlled. When our faith is waning, when we're thinking God's not going to be there for us, that's when we need to take control of our minds. And we need to remember Philippians 4:8. We need to remember all the good things He's done for us. Number 6, God has a plan. God has a plan. Romans 8:27 through 28, it talks about how God works all together for His good. So He works the bad things, and He works the good things, and He works them together for His will, for the good of His will. If we're going through bad times, we need to remember there's a lesson there for us. We need to remember that we have to have faith. We need to remember that God makes the impossible possible. When I was in the Navy and things were going bad, we had a saying, "Keep the faith, shipmate." You could tell when others were down and depressed because we might have been out to sea for 5 weeks, 4 weeks, 2 weeks, whatever it was. Maybe we're going through stupid, mindless operations and tests and trainings. People were getting grumpy and owly. Keep the faith, shipmate. I think that's important for us. We as Christians, we need to work together and make sure that each one of us can keep the faith. We know who's going through hard times. We know that they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. We've been there too. But you got to keep the faith. You got to keep it. Remember James chapter 1? You got to persevere. Remember 2 Corinthians 4:17? Our afflictions are light and momentary, preparing us for an eternal glory. These problems aren't going to last forever. We need to remember the blue book, this blue song book, song number 5. Great is thy faithfulness. God's faithful to us. He's very faithful to us. We have so many wonderful things. I hope that this lesson has encouraged you. This lesson encourages me, because by no means do I always keep the faith. I always lose sight of the faith. But I thank God for His Word. I thank God for His Son. And I thank God for His faithfulness. Three what? It's number 3 in the blue. Okay, I'm sorry. If there's anyone here who has heard the Word and wishes to be baptized, to be a part of that family, and hopes on things being made possible, please come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.